The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Ski. This is the TWBC Podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings once again, ladies and gentlemen. This is the latest edition of the TWBC podcast, coming to you once again from the Greater Miami Water Ski Club. I'm Tony Lightfoot and glad to have the pleasure of your support for this and every other episode that has been broadcast and will be broadcast in the future. So, we're right at the cusp of the end of the season. I'm sure many of the pro skiers are already chomping at the bit to take vacations and stuff like that, you know, and just get ready to for the off season without all the stress and strain that goes along with tournament skiing. And one of those is my good friend from Italia. It is Thomas DeGasperi. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, I do have to say. So, end of the season. I'm guessing it's been long awaited by a number of skiers, yourself included. What have you got going on after this?
Well, you know, every year at the end of the season, everybody's like, oh, I'm so happy that the season's over. I'm like, I'm not. I want to keep going and, you know, keep skiing and try new things. But after this, I'm just going to stay back in Orlando and maybe take some time off this year from skiing, maybe a week or two. And yeah, my mom will come visit me and we'll enjoy time in Orlando. And I got hit by Milton pretty hard, so my leg is... It's pretty high still, and I'm gonna go through a phase of kind of like rebuild my yard and put everything back together.
Is your house still upright?
My house is great. Yeah, the water didn't hit the house, but it was very close. I built a beach, a very nice beach, like a few years ago, and it's still underwater, so it will take a while.
All right then. So. I mean, this season has been an interesting one. At the beginning of the season, things weren't really clicking for you on the original ski that you had mm-hmm. planned to ski the season. But then things really started to turn for the better when you decided to make the switch between that ski that you were riding and a ski that you'd previously ridden at least a few months or the season before. Kind of tell us a little bit about that and what was the main catalyst for your decision to say, hey, things aren't going right on this ski. I felt good on the previous ski. Let's give this one a try and see how things go.
So yeah, I guess when I started trying the new ski back in, I think it was like March or February or March, just before Moomba, so February, let's say, conditions in Florida and in Orlando were, you know, temperature were different, the water was a little colder, so a little faster, maybe a little harder. I felt the ski was acting the way I want it. But then as soon as the water started warming up a little bit, you know, I felt like... starting with Swiss Pro and then LCQs and some tournaments in Europe, I don't know. I didn't feel the connection with the ski, and I was getting very frustrated. And it wasn't that bad, but I felt like it was more a switch. Yes and no. Yes and no. I was either getting a good score or working so hard to maybe run 39, and that's not the way I ski. And so after Spain, yeah, I said, had enough. I'm just gonna ask somebody to send me the 2023 ski from Florida to Italy overnight, and well, the fastest way possible. Let's say that way. Yeah, it wasn't cheap. It wasn't cheap at all.
I bet it wasn't.
No, it was very expensive. Yeah, but anyway, so when the ski arrived, I think you were in Caldonazzo when the ski arrived, and or just about that time. And yeah, as soon as I jumped on it, I felt, you know, just better swings, better connection with the ski, but I didn't have enough time. I only had 2 days to get used to it before San Gervasio, which I made podiums, and then I kept it until England, and I made podium there. And then in the meantime, they were making me another ski in Utah, in at Good, and they shipped that very fast to Italy too. So after England, I decided to try the new one because we had a little break. And it took me a little bit to find the right settings, and I liked it.
Can you divulge some of those settings without breaking too many agreements that you have with the good folks at Good? You know, because it's more than just the shape; it's the material science, it's the flex pattern. It's
correct. So thank God I have Martin Coleman is. He's the guy that is doing all my ski. He builds them. He has all the records, and so we have a great connection. You know, like it's easy to talk, and he listens, and I listen to him very much. And I think he has a lot of knowledge. But for me, once the numbers are correct, it's a matter of to find how the front binding sits on the ski, because my skis are symmetrical, so I don't put my binding in the middle.
That's asymmetrical.
Correct. It is asymmetrical.
Asymmetrical. Yeah.
Did I say that it's not?
Yeah. You pronounced it a little differently.
Okay,
just to make
it
sure.
It is asymmetrical. Okay.
Okay.
Right?
Asymmetrical.
Correct. Okay.
Yes.
So beside where my binding is Velcro to the ski, I also play a little bit with how much I tilt the binding in the front and the back. So for me, that's... And it's incredible how much difference 1 millimeter of, you know, your front foot is open or closed. It changes the whole dynamic of the ski. So for me, that's the hardest part, to find the right settings.
Does your foot go straight up and down, or does it get canted off? Does it tilt from your heel?
So the power shells that I use, you can unscrew the four Allen keys on the bottom, and you can move it forward, left, right, tilt it, whatever you want. So that... I start playing back in the days, but now I start playing, not playing, but kind of understand better how it works. So if my front binding, which I'm right foot forward, tilt open to the right, then it's going to do one thing on the offside, and it's going to do something else on the outside. So mm-hmm. to find that correct alignment between the front and the back, left and right on each side, It's not easy.
So that kind of determines how far up on the boat, how far out you stay there before the ski kicks around.
Correct. So, if you open it too much, then the tip is going to go in too much too early, and you don't want that. And you kind of have to find that balance of, you know, where it works on both sides, because you give on one side, you take away from the other one. And this ski that I'm on now, it's great. I love it. I'm getting bigger scores than usual, but I feel that it's not as good as the ski that it was in 23 and 22 and 21. I feel like it's more like it's either super high or it's like... it can screw me up. So it might be me. It might be me also that I'm tired. You know, it's been a long season. So
yeah,
there's a lot of tournaments and, you know, I just don't just water ski. I run to ski schools. I'm always on the go. I never really get to rest. So maybe that's the reason too.
Yeah, maybe, you know, because yeah. I mean, you said right from the outset that you very rarely take a rest in the off season. You know, mm-hmm. you still continue to ski, probably not at the intensity you should have during the summer. But maybe it may be a chance to explore a little bit in the United States to do a little bit of snow skiing or what yeah. have you, you know, something yeah. something like that, or something a little bit off the wall, you know?
Yeah, that would be great. I used to snow ski race for 7 years, so...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when I was... I grew up in the Dolomites, you know, so there's a lot of mountains and...
Okay, so judging by your figure, I'll probably say that you're probably more specialized towards Super G and downhill, maybe?
You know, that's what everybody said, but it was much better in slalom. Oh. A lot quicker. I don't know how. Super G was okay. Giant slalom. How do you say it?
GS.
GS was okay, but slalom, the very tight turns.
Yes.
I was the best one.
So, all right.
Yeah. which sounds weird because I'm tall and heavy and, you know, maybe not as fast as like a little kid. But
I bet you and Alberto Tomba would have been buddies.
I met him a few times. Yeah.
Oh, you had?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. So for those snow skiers out there that are listening in, Alberto, or those that don't know, actually, Alberto Tomba was a multiple-time Olympic medalist in the latter part of the 1980s, I think.
And 90s, too.
And 90s as well. Yeah. I mean, in the 88 Olympic Games in Calgary, I think that's where he had his best success. And he was, actually kind of more renowned for some of his activities rather off the piece vis-a-vis Katarina Witt, you know, at that time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
I used to go watch him all the time.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, yeah. In Campiglio, when they do the night slalom side mm-hmm. by side, that was really good. Yeah.
Oh wow!
Yeah, yeah.
All right then. So we're taking a little trip down memory lane a little bit. So What other piece of slalom equipment have you made any wholesale changes to? I mean it's not just the ski, but what else have you worked with?
Nothing particularly. Like this season has been a little bit, you know, a little question mark as far as like I had the good scores, but then like the consistency sometimes is not there.
I mean, you could be on the podium one event and drop all the way out of like the finals in the next
correct.
One. Yeah,
and it happened, you know. And that's not how I ski usually. Mm. So yeah, no, I just I need to, you know, regroup for next year and just get my mojo back. But I like the ski. I like this one. It's just as I said, maybe I'm just a little tired this year.
People are already speculating that in 2025, maybe the last season that you ski, considering that that the World Championships are going to be held in Italia, in Rochetto.
Correct.
And not correct the part that you want to play, say no. quits, but obviously no. correct in saying that it is going to be Rochetto. But let's try and squash those rumors right on the head. You know,
I didn't give a date to when I want to, you know, just say, okay, I'm done. As long as having fun, which I am, as long as I compete, I can compete against, you know, the guys and be part of the group. And I want to continue. Yeah, of course, I'm not 20 years old anymore. You know, me and Will, and maybe Parrish when he skis, but we are the oldest on the tour. But no, I don't think that way.
All right then. So, serious portion of the interview is done. You know, I mean, obviously looking forward to all the crowds and I mean these crowds are going to come out to see you,
yeah.
aren't they? I mean, you knew that these World Championships were going to be held at least 2 months before everybody else.
Yeah, else I couldn't say anything yet, but yeah.
you just had to go. Mm.
Uh-huh.
Stay stum, you know. But
well, it's not only me and the Italian team. There's other good skiers, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, but let's talk about those. This past summer, you, Brando Caruso, both sharing the top of the podium at the European Championships, but you wanted to keep that pairing going, but what stopped it?
They said that safety was one of the major issues of continuing to go on in the runoffs, because I think we had like four runoffs or something like that. We ski four times and you know, within like 45 minutes. So they said it was not safe for us to keep going, and the wind was picking up. And I was like, I can ski another 10 times if you guys want me to. You know, there's no problem. Anyway, so, but it's I think he deserves it too. And, you know, like we've been having, I think we had in the last five editions, we had three times runoffs, me and Brando and Freddie Winter and Sasha. So in the last five editions that I won consecutively,
yes,
we had three runoff situations. So it was Spain at Cesena, where it was me, Brando, Sasha, and Freddie Winter. I won, Brando second, Freddie third. And then we had it in San Gervasio, where
yeah,
we had back-to-back
yeah.
runoffs.
And yeah, I that was that in one. 23.
Correct, and then this year.
And then this year. So it's been pretty tight at the top so far as
yeah.
the Europeans slalom titles are concerned.
Correct.
But we'll see how it works out next year. Now, Much like Corey Vaughan, we've selected some cards with some random questions. We've gone through these questions, so I've given you enough time to be able to formulate an answer. But I'm going to give Thomas here the opportunity to pick a card.
Just one?
Just one. And we'll go through each one of those, and I'll read off the question. What is the grossest thing you've seen anyone do in public?
Can I say it?
Yes, you can.
I think I saw somebody taking a dump in the middle of the street one time.
Where?
You want me to say it?
Yes.
Bourbon Street during college days in Louisiana. Oh. During Mardi Gras.
Oh, that's just another Tuesday.
Yeah. Well, I think you know the area pretty good.
Yeah, I know. They've tried to clean it up, but there are just some things in the Big Easy that you just cannot clean up, no matter how much you try.
Yeah.
All right, there. Pick another card. This one, and it's going to say, what strange thing would you like to have happen at your funeral that makes people laugh?
Oh, this is the one I can't answer. That would make them laugh?
Yeah, make them laugh.
Oh, no idea.
What, like, jump out and, like, say, hey, surprise?
Yeah. Okay, let's take that one, because I have no idea how to answer that question.
All right.
Pick one more.
Okay.
Oh, that's it.
All right, then. Okay, pick another one.
You pick.
You want me to pick?
Yeah, I trust
you. Okay, all right, then. We're going to go through all of these, trust me.
Oh, all of them?
Yeah, all of them, yeah. I'll try and keep these podcasts to a little under 30 minutes, and we're on minute 16 right now, so we've got plenty to work with. When you were a kid, did you have posters on your wall?
Of course.
Like, duh, you're Italian. Yeah. If so, what?
Spice Girls.
Spice Girls?
No, okay. I was in love with the...
Sporty?
No.
Ginger?
Yeah, the one that's dating Christian Horner. That married Christian Horner.
Oh, Ginger Spice.
Jerry Holloway, yeah.
Jerry Horner.
And then I have posters of soccer players.
Okay.
Of AC Milan. And then my favorite motorcycle that I never got. But yeah, that's it.
What's
and,
that?
And I think... Then I grew up a little, when I got a little older and I got into water skiing, back then there was posters of every water skier. So there was like Waycox, Andy, Parrish, like, you know, I've been in Italy and never be able to travel across this, you know, across the pond and come to US. I used to see them as my heroes and you know, you never get to meet them. And like, they were in magazines, you know, back then.
Any pictures of Italian skiers like Robbie Zucchi or...
Bubu
Alessi.
Yeah, he was my hero too.
There you go. And Marco Merlo and those
Marco
folks.
Merlo, yeah. But more Bubu because it was more recent and I got to meet him, and you know.
What was the bike that you never got?
The bike?
Yes.
What bike?
The poster of that motorcycle.
Oh, it was an Aprilia Scooter SR.
Scooter?
Yeah, it was like, I loved it. When I was 14, I was like, all I wanted was that one, and I never got... And I remember on the day of my birthday, on the 14th, I was like, oh, my parents are going to surprise me. I'm going to go down in the garage, it's going to be turned on with the lights on, and nothing happened. Then after school, I came back, I was like, oh, it's going to be in the garage again, and nothing happened, never got it.
Yeah, always had a dream vehicle myself, a Fiat Cinquecento Abarth. You know, it's like a rocket powered roller skate,
but dangerous.
Dangerous too. Okay, I better keep that in mind.
Yeah.
All right, then, would you ever pick up a hitchhiker?
Would I or did I? Would I? Yeah.
Okay.
In Italy,
you have.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you kind of look at them. If they look like sketchy, you keep going. If it looks like a...
Okay.
Maybe a good-looking girl. I'm, pick it up.
Yeah, I just have visions of that scene, you know, in what is it, Rush, you know, where Niki Lauda was picked up on the side of the road.
Yeah, I remember the movie. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a pretty good movie. If you've never seen that, then you'll see a little bit of an insight into Ferrari.
All right.
Okay, describe your sense of humor in one word. I didn't tell you these were easy.
I know. You helped me. I don't know. You know me better. I don't know. I can't judge myself. Spontaneous.
Spontaneous.
I don't know.
I'll take that. You could have had eclectic. You could have had goofy.
Goofy. I can be goofy.
Okay. That puts you in the same league as Corey Vaughan.
Right.
Okay. What's your favorite microwavable food?
the pasta that I cook the next day.
Okay, pasta. Well, I mean, you're Italian.
The next day, it's actually tastes better.
Tastes better.
It tastes better because I don't know, the pasta blends with the sauce better. It just tastes better the next day. I don't know why.
Hmm.
Yeah.
There you go. A little bit of Gordon Ramsay advice, sage advice going your way.
Yep.
Have you ever been arrested? If so, for what?
Not in America. I got a little detained in England. It was the time there was like the Princess Pro-Am, and the same night there was the night jump somewhere else. It was
The Liquid Leisure night jump. Yeah, London Correct. Night jump. Yeah, I was probably announcing for that deal as well.
Probably. And so we ski in the slalom event, and then at night we all went party and watched the jump, and it of course was sponsored by Corona. And one too many. It was like six people in the car returning to the hotel, which was like next to the airport. And they said nobody wanted to drive. I said, all right, I'll drive. There was like six, seven people in the car. I rented a car. And I did everything great until I got to the roundabout in front of the hotel. And because you guys drive on the other side of the street.
Oh, you went the other way.
I went the other way. On the other side of the roundabout, there was a police car. And they stopped me. And when they saw us coming out, like seven people, they understood how it was. And they gave me a breathalyzer, and I said, if it stays green, you can go home. We let you go. We understand. If it goes orange, maybe not so much. And if it's red, you come with us. And it went from green to orange very quickly. Then it stayed in orange. I was like, oh, that's good. And then it turned red. So they brought me in, no handcuffs. They were actually very nice. And so it was a Saturday night, and they had to wake up the doctor to come take my blood for testing for alcohol levels.
Oh, wow.
So the doctor, of course, was asleep. It took like 4 hours to get there. I was already sober. And then they let me go back to Louisiana school. And then they said, hey, we're going to send you an email if you have to come back for court, if it comes back negative or positive. And so a month later, I received an email saying, you're clear. I hope you learn your lesson from the officer that kind of detained me. And I answered, yeah, next time I'm in England, we're going to have a beer together.
That was it. Hopefully still around and still working in the fine constabulary, probably the Royal Berkshire constabulary. Anyway, do you have a favorite number? Any particular reason why you choose that number?
17. It's the birthday of my dad. It's always been 17. So, yeah, that's the number.
There you go. Have you ever been bitten or attacked by an animal? If so, what and why?
Well, the why, I don't know, probably because I was young and stupid. But yeah, you know, growing up in the mountains in northern Italy, in the Dolomites and part of the Alps, we used to like go like play around with cows and sheep and rams and, well, beside the dogs and cats. But yeah, a couple times they attacked us, they got mad, and I got rammed by a sheep, and they punch hard. They put their head down and just go hard at it.
All the horns and everything. Yep. All right, then. So this is the final question. You've been waiting on this one.
Okay.
What slogan or jingle gets stuck in your head forever? I know what the answer is going to be on this one. And
the Barilla song, maybe.
The Barilla song?
Yeah, when you were a kid, they played it on TV all the time. And then I actually learned how to play it with a piano, too. So that was probably that one. And two more. The Coca-Cola light of Elton John, that was also something that I just started, I actually remembered, and I looked it up on YouTube, and the Coca-Cola Christmas commercials.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. So
with the polar bear and the sound and music, I guess when you're a kid, you remember these things, right?
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, I remembered when Elton John did a commercial, and I just showed that to you for Cadbury Chocolate, you know, mm-hmm. It was spectacular.
Yeah.
as it alluded to towards the end. Okay. All right, then we'll wrap up this podcast. Thank you very much once again, Thomas,
for
sparing us some time. Anyone you want to say thanks to?
All my sponsor, my mom, and you know, all the people that supports me and still believe in me, and I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to quit.
Excellent stuff. And that was Thomas DeGasperi. This has been the latest edition of the TWDBC podcast. Great to have your support. And on behalf of Thomas and myself, Tony Lightfoot, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.